In this lecture, we cover another customs procedure that enables an importer to save duty. The procedure is called Processing Under Customs Control, or PCC for short. The legislation is contained in Articles 130 to 136 of the Code, and mainly Articles 551 to 552 of the implementing regs. The procedure used to be known as Processing for Free Circulation, or PFC for short. We'll use the current name throughout this lecture. Let's start by taking a look at where we might use this procedure. You are an importer of metal sheets. We'll imagine that the duty rate on these sheets is 5%. The reason you are importing the sheets is to process them in your factory. You produce metal screws and other metal parts from the sheets, which are here to be incorporated into cars. Let's say that the duty rate on these products is currently 3%. Using what we know so far, when we import the sheets of metal, we will declare them to customs on the C88 and pay duty at the rate of 5%. However, the final products that we are releasing onto the UK market are screws and metal parts, and these have a duty rate of 3%. Can we pay duty at the rate of 3% as opposed to 5%? You might be thinking that we could use inward processing relief. However, if you remember, with IPR, you only get duty relief if you re-export the finished product. Our finished product is remaining in the EU, so that's no good to us. A customs warehouse wouldn't help us either, as you can only carry out usual forms of handling on goods in a warehouse, so this type of processing would not be allowed. Using PCC will help us, though. This allows an importer to import raw materials without paying customs duties and import VAT, process them in the UK, and release them to free circulation at the rate of duty applicable to the finished products, or processed products as the legislation calls them. Duty and VAT is only payable when the processed products are released to free circulation. In our example above, instead of paying duty at 5%, we can pay duty at 3%. We also obtain a cash flow benefit by paying the duty once the processing is complete. The regime therefore encourages production to take place in the EU. Otherwise, if we had to pay duty on the metal sheets at 5%, we might as well have the metal sheet made into screws abroad and import the finished product at a lower rate of duty. Like with most other procedures we have looked at, if a person wishes to take advantage of PCC, they need to be authorised. The authorisation rules are contained in Articles 132 and 133 of the Code, and Articles 497 to 508 of the Implementing Regs. You will have seen these articles in the Implementing Regs before, as they are common to most customs procedures, for example, IPR, OPR, and customs warehousing. For a regular user of PCC, application is made on a form which replicates the one in Annex 67 of the Implementing Regs. Authorizations will only be granted if the following conditions are satisfied. 1. Applications can only be made by someone established in the community. 2. The import goods must be capable of being identified in the processed products. 3. The processed products must not be capable of being restored to their former state. Where they are capable, for example, our metal screws could be melted back down into sheets, this condition is satisfied if it is not economically viable to do so. 4. The fourth condition is that the procedure cannot be used to circumvent rules on quantitative restrictions. And finally, 5. The economic conditions must be satisfied. Remember, you've seen this phrase a few times before. It means that the processing is not going to harm EU producers of similar goods. For PCC, the economic conditions are deemed to be fulfilled if the goods and processes are listed in Part A of Annex 76 of the Implementing Regs. You can see this from Article 552. This is quite a long list. To pick out a couple of examples, it includes non-agricultural goods, where the duty advantage does not exceed €50,000 per annum, processing of any products into samples, and carrying out usual forms of handling on products. If the goods and processing we wish to undertake do not fall within the list in Annex 76, then we need to satisfy the economic test. We need to show that the processing operations will not harm the essential interests of community producers, and to quote the legislation, that the use of non-community sources enables processing activities to be created or maintained in the community,
and without adversely affecting the essential interest of community producers of similar goods.
Therefore, if the type of processing we're carrying out is not currently done by anyone in the EU, we may satisfy the economic test. We don't want to encourage people to export their products abroad for processing when we could give jobs to EU citizens.
The Customs Committee carried out the economic test. It takes a number of factors into account which depend on the specific circumstances of the situation. These factors might include the value of investment made, permanence of activity, and its viability and the stability of jobs created. Carrying on with authorizations, let's take a look at the types available. There are four types of authorization in the UK: the simplified, the UK, the single community, and the integrated. The simplified authorization is applied for at the time of import. It is, therefore, only suitable for occasional importers. You can only apply at the time of import if your goods do not need to satisfy the economic test. Control of the procedure is carried out by customs, and the importer generally has 6 months to import and process the goods and send a return back to customs saying that this has been done. The 6 month period may be extended at the importer's request. The UK authorization is suitable for the regular importer who wishes to process the goods in the UK only. Application is made on forms C and E 1321, and this form is used for authorizations whether they require an economic test or not. The single community authorization is needed where the importer carries out processing in more than one member state. And the integrated authorization is where the importer wishes to combine PCC with another procedure, for instance, customs warehousing or IPR. Authorizations will generally be granted for a maximum 3 years, and can in certain circumstances be granted retroactively, but only for 1 year. You're probably sensing déjà vu here, as these are the same rules that we have covered for other authorizations, such as IPR. For authorizations involving the UK only, customs have 30 days to issue or reject the authorization. Where the authorization involves another member state, the authorization needs to be sent to them. They have 30 days to object. If no objections are received within the 30-day period, the authorization will be granted. Each authorization will have a throughput period specified, which is the time allowed for the import and processing to have occurred, and a rate of yield, which sets out how much imported product is used to make the finished items. Assuming we are now authorized to use PCC, how do we calculate our duty once the goods have been processed? Continuing with our previous example, we'll see how it works. We've imported our sheets of metal and processed the metal into the screws and other metal parts. We need to declare our finished goods now that they are being released to free circulation, so we'll complete a C88. We know that the duty rate is 3%, but we need to apply this to the value of the goods to find the amount of duty payable. What value do we use? Do we use the original value of the metal, the value of the finished product, or another method? Article 551, subsection 3 of the implementing regs tells us how we arrive at a value. The importer has a choice of methods. He can use either methods 2, 3, or 4, which you've already seen in the valuation lecture. As a reminder, method 2 is the value of identical goods, method 3 is the value of similar goods, and method 4 uses the selling price of the goods. As an alternative, the importer can use the value of the imported goods plus the processing costs, ignoring any profit the manufacturer will add. We also need to consider preference. Put simply, if the imported product would have qualified for a preferential rate, and there is also a preferential rate for the finished products, if they had been imported from the same country as the raw material, then the importer can use the preferential rate of duty for the finished product. Import VAT is due as normal. We add the value of the goods, calculated according to the above rules, to the amount of customs duty and multiply the total by the VAT rate. To illustrate how PCC works, look at the following example. Here's our manufacturer importing the metal sheets into PCC. He processes the sheets in the factory into metal screws. The metal screws are released to free circulation, and we need to calculate the duty due on them. The metal sheets cost £5,000 at the time of import. The freight and insurance on the sheets is £800. The costs incurred in producing the screws are labour, £1,000, overheads, £100, and he will add on profit of £3,000 before selling to his customers. The duty rate on the screws is 3%. You need to work out the value of the goods to find the duty and import VAT due. Our manufacturer is going to use the alternative valuation method, which adds together the value of the imported goods and the processing costs. Have a go at working out the duty and VAT due. Enter the numbers in the boxes to the nearest pence, round down if you need to, and once you have finished, press the Enter key to reveal the answers. The correct answers were £207 of duty and £1,243.72 of import VAT. To calculate the duty, we take the customs value of the imported product, which is the cost of £5,000, plus the freight and insurance of £800, and add the cost of processing. The cost of processing includes the labour of £1,000 and general overheads of £100, but does not include the profit. So, at this point, we have a value of £6,900. We multiply that by the 3% rate to give us duty of £207. If we hadn't used PCC, the duty payable would have been 5% on the £5,800, which is £290. We've saved ourselves £83 on this particular consignment. To calculate the import VAT, we need to take the duty inclusive value, which is the duty of £207, plus the £6,900 we had calculated for the goods. This gives us £7,107. Assuming the rate of VAT is 17.5%, we multiply that by the £7,107 and our import VAT is £1,243.72. Finally, we'll look at the record-keeping requirements and returns that need to be made to customs. Customs might want to visit the trader's premises and inspect his records to make sure that he has been accounting for duty and VAT correctly on his products. Our trader therefore needs to make sure that he keeps sufficient records to show the products imported, the processing undertaken on the goods, and the final products produced. These records can be maintained on a computer. In addition, customs will require returns from the trader at usually monthly or quarterly intervals to check that he is complying with the terms of his authorization. The frequency of returns is detailed on the authorization, and generally nil returns will be required where there have been no imports in a period. The returns can be made on commercial documentation or on customs' own form, the C&E 1325. The type of information required on each return is information about the imported goods, i.e. their commodity code, the quantity and value of them, and information about the goods produced, i.e. their commodity code, quantity, value, and processing costs. Customs will check the returns to ensure that the trader is only importing goods to PCC that he is authorized for, is only carrying out the operations he is authorized for, and is complying with other conditions. For example, does he comply with his throughput period, that is, the time it takes to import and process the products, and the rate of yield that was set for his goods?